In life, there are a lot of attractions, things that consume our time and that are good for us to pursue. There are things like money and relationships, education, family, career, entertainment, all of which are good things and worth pursuing. But there's one interesting teaching of Jesus that he warns us that even though these are good pursuits, he warns us to not get caught up and distracted pursuing an abundance of them. And he tells us that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. If you have one of the church Bibles, turn to page 679. That's right where it's located. One of the things that I pursue in Maine summers is not only do I like to play with my two-year-old outside in our backyard and in the new swing set that we've just been given and in his sandbox, but I like going to the beach and I like longboarding, which you can't do very well in the winter and the snow. But I like to go find a new paved road and go out with a few buddies on our long skateboards and see how fast we can go without crashing. But whether it's these entertainment factors or if you're a person that really loves and values spending time with your family like I do also, or if you're big into your career, Jesus warns us to not get caught up in making our life focus on those. He says in verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." Jesus warns us that the wealth on this earth, even though good, it has a short lifespan. Some that are much shorter than others. But the longest ones only last a handful of decades. And then they're gone. And Jesus, he encourages us to expand our investment vision and to invest in things that are not only greater, but are longer lasting. He says in the next verse, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Our society tends to get the idea of investing, of sacrificing now for a better future. We teach our youth that by sending them to school, and then we send them to college. And once you start a career, we teach ourselves that by investing for retirement, so that life later can be richer than it is now. And that's a good thing. We get that. That's a godly thing. And Jesus simply says, we need to not only look to when we're young adults or middle age or to our retirement, but he encourages us to look past that, to look into heaven and to make investments for eternity. Which when Jesus says this, my mind automatically goes, well, how do you do that? How do you build up riches in heaven? And there are a few places in the Bible, several actually, that say things like simple acts of kindness. For simple acts of kindness, you will receive rewards in heaven. Things such as Matthew 10:42, Jesus says, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of the little ones, simply shows kindness to a young person. Reward in heaven. Generosity is said to be rewarded in heaven. In 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. 1 Corinthians tells us that by working to spread the gospel, to tell people about Jesus and what he did on the cross, that we will receive rewards in heaven for that. Even if we work on a team, it says that they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Jesus also says that suffering for doing what's right, when you suffer for following him, you will have rewards in heaven. He says in Matthew 5, 11 through 12, blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, when they falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice. Be glad. Get excited. Because great is your reward in heaven. Just wait. It'll pay off. He also says things about caring for the hurt, loving the needy. I do want to point out, these acts don't earn you heaven. Jesus clearly teaches that. You can't get to heaven by doing good acts. Jesus makes it clear that it's only through faith in him and what he did on the cross that we can receive forgiveness and receive eternal life. But he encourages us to invest in these things. He says, wealth in heaven is much greater than wealth on earth. Not only is it better in the long run, he claims, to pursue heavenly wealth, but what we decide to focus on, what we live for, determines who we become. Our focus determines our quality as a person. In verse 21, Jesus says, where your treasure is, that which you hoard, that which you store up, that which you live for, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. That's where your mind will be. That's what your emotions will dwell on. It'll affect the choices you make in life. He says, the eye is the lamp of the whole body, what you focus on. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If you stay focused on God, you'll become the type of person you should become. But if you get distracted and you focus on something else, or if you become double-visioned and try to focus on God and something else, you end up not becoming the person you're supposed to become. And sometimes we think we're better off and more focused than we really are. When I moved to Maine, I went down in my basement and I saw this big old metal thing, and I had no idea what it was. And I come to find out it was my oil tank, which only Mainers have, it seems like. And on top of my oil tank was a gauge. And I remember there was one point in time when I went and checked my gauge, because I learned you got to check your oil to make sure you don't get low. And so I checked my gauge, and it's 3/4 full. So I'm like, okay, we're sitting well. There's a big old tank. It'll last me a long time. And I remember several weeks later, I came down. I was doing some work in the basement, and I look in my gauge, and I looked, and 3/4 full. I'm like, awesome. We're not using a lot of oil. So I remember I kind of put it in the back of my mind, and several weeks later, I went down, and 3/4 full. Oil out here is awesome. Until I started getting suspicious, and I started tweaking with the gauge, and I unscrewed the metal at the top, and right when I tweaked it, the gauge goes, doosh, right down to the bottom, and I realized that I was in a much worse situation than I thought I was in. And I think a lot of times, our spiritual life is like that. We think of ourselves as being great. We're very God-focused. We're Christians. We go to church on Sunday, all these things. And sometimes it takes some serious personal evaluation and investigation to determine whether or not we are truly 100% focused on God, or if we're focused on something else, or if we're being distracted from focusing on God. Jesus says, if then the light within you is darkness, if you think you're good, but your focus is off, Jesus says, how great is that darkness? You have a problem and you don't even know. It's better to know your vision's bad than to think it's good and not be able to see. Even though we oftentimes try to convince ourselves that we will be okay pursuing what we want and we can still live for God, Jesus emphatically claims that this is untrue. He says right there in the next verse, no one can serve two masters. You can't do it. Either you will hate the one and you'll love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't do it. And I don't think he means we shouldn't pursue these things that we like to pursue, but what he does say is, if you're a true Christian, you need to serve him only. If you're working a career, make your career about God. If you pursue entertainment and fun, make that about God. If God's blessed you with wealth, well, make it about God. Offer him all of your pursuits. Tell him they are his, that he has the right to tweak them and change them. If he shows you a way he wants you to change him, you're willing to. Sometimes I think when we look at these things, we simply got to decide who we're going to live for, what we're going to live for. And Jesus encourages us to serve God and invest in eternity. We could talk about changing our whole lives today, and that can be sometimes an unreasonable goal to accomplish. So let's narrow our vision just to the summer, the next 3 months. Let's, as a church, decide to invest the next 3 months into really living for God, for truly investing in eternity, to go out of our way to do some of those things that we mentioned that builds up our treasures in heaven, the type of things that make God happy. Let's live this summer in a way that if you stood before God in September, you'd be proud of the way you lived the previous 3 months. Is that a good idea? For all of us, stay focused on God. Make everything about him and invest in eternity. Let's pray. God, I apologize for myself for often getting distracted, even in things that seem really good, like my ministry or the point. Help me to never make my life about anything but you. I pray for all of us here at White Pine that you would help us be really intentional this summer to making our lives about you, to investing in eternity, to try out what Jesus is encouraging us to do. I ask these things in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.